The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.
Welcome to the Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast. After being rested for a couple of weeks due to some awareness, Gingy, we had a hiatus. Have you ever had a hiatus?
I can tell you that my blood pressure has never been better.
Where is it?
In the 2 weeks that you were away and I didn't have to worry about this podcast.
And this podcast, thanks to Kurz Hire, Jeff and all the team do a wonderful job.
Jeff!
Jared.
Well, his dad, and his dad, Gary.
Right, Jeff and Gary. There should be straightforward names, Gingy. Keep things...
Who was the last Jeff to play?
Jeff Ferring.
Jeff Garlett.
Jeff Ablett.
Yeah. Well, no, probably Jeff with a J seems...
Jeffrey Edelston.
Doctor, the good doctor.
He used to play with...
Leanne.
And he had a pink helicopter.
Yeah, he did.
Have you ever had anything that's pink?
No. Move on, Ben.
No, have you?
Jeff...
Have you ever owned any pink?
No, Jeff...
Because I went around to a bloke's house, right, not right. long ago, for a barbecue, and he had a pink shirt on.
Did he?
And I was like, he's rocking a pink shirt.
Yeah, I've got a sort of a light pink sort of, you know, cottony summery arrangement.
Good.
Yeah. Now, Jeff with a J always looked cooler than Jeff with a G. Is that a fair comment?
Possibly. I think Jeff with a J E double F.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you didn't have a mushtaka with that name, it was a prerequisite having that name. You were born with it.
With a mo.
Yeah, with a mushtaka. Yep. Anyway, we've had a hiatus for the Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast, Gingy, and have you ever had a hiatus hernia? Is that an expression? Is that a medical expression?
Hiatus hernia.
Hiatus. It's a hiatus, is it?
Yeah. Hiatus. Hiatus hernia?
Titus.
Yeah, not titus. A hiatus hernia.
Isn't it?
Hiatus.
I don't know my medical.
Hiatus.
There's only
hernia.
A few medical terms I know, Gingy. One of them's hungover.
Yeah, inebriated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brahms and Liszt. Is that a medical term? I've got some awareness. Yeah. That's a medical term, isn't it?
Three sheets to the wind.
Yes. Yes.
You were spinnaker at full mast, weren't you, on Saturday night? On the dance floor?
Goodness. The mast certainly wasn't... The spinnaker wasn't up, Kingy.
Were you doing the nut push?
I did have a big night Saturday. I had a very big night. I did have a big day and a big night. So Joey's got their pants pulled, man. I went up there and watched that. And then I continued to refresh into the night.
What time did you get out of bed to be on air at midday? What time did your clock say?
My clock said I had to be on there at 12. I got up at 11:27, I think. And I was thinking...
You're a disaster.
I was hoping they pushed the game back a bit. But anyway, I got behind the wheel, Kingy, and I got down there and it was good to see the Cats. Look, they did enough, I think is the football expression. They weren't outstanding. Third quarter was good. I think we had... Well, I don't think we had. We had Tom Atkins on post-game and he thought that was one of the third quarter was one of the better quarters they'd played in recent times.
They kicked 5 goals, 6.
Yeah, they put the game to bed, we always say this, put the cue in the rack in the last quarter, and they won by, I think St Kilda won the last quarter by goal.
They did.
Kicking
with the wind.
Yeah, but it was...
That breeze had a...
Do you reckon?
That ball was holding up.
Things looked a bit sort of like me on Saturday night, those premiership
Geelong,
bit flaccid.
Well, Geelong kicked 11 goals with the wind and only 6 into it.
Yeah, okay. Well, they did enough. They got through. Injury to Tom Stewart. Do you think he's playing this week?
I reckon they might go conservative. It's not serious. It's legitimately a knock.
Yeah.
6 day break when you know you've got an 8 day of playing against North Melbourne.
Yeah, it makes little sense unless he's 100%, which he probably won't.
Well,
be,
he's not. He hasn't been 100% since he did.
Well, he's had some good patches, King. Yeah. In the last 6 weeks.
But he's not
100%
fit.
No, he's not. But he has had some good patches where he's looked like the Tom Stewart of old. So, erring on the side of caution with him. If he went out, does Jed Buse get in?
You'd hope so. 29 disposals in the VFL last week.
Yeah, playing in defence or do they play him somewhere else?
No, he played halfback.
That's good going.
Yeah.
You would have thought if he...
He has spent some time through the midfield in the VFL, only for the fact there's not a lot of experience there.
Yeah.
But no, most...
Well, you'd like to see him get a crack. I mean, he's playing 29 touches is... Because that game was close, wasn't it? They played Collingwood?
Yeah, lost by 15.
Yeah. Well, you'd think if Stewart out, Jed Buse would be the obvious replacement for him. Probably no other changes you wouldn't have thought, can you? Did they rest someone else?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think...
Do you think this is...
No, Geelong can't afford to be
lose
too cute. Lose a game, but to be too cute at this time of the year. Geelong have been pretty good over the years with their management of players, but you can shoot yourself in the foot by thinking, well, we're just going to rock up and get the 4 points. nobody rocks up and gets the 4 points very often in the AFL anymore. You've still got to try and find a way to win a game of footy.
They do, and I just have this fear of Marvel.
Yeah.
Geelong have been putrid at Marvel, like putrid. And North Melbourne, people say it's only North Melbourne. North Melbourne have a good midfield. Now, I don't know, I haven't checked the North Melbourne team, but if they're all playing, is Wardlaw playing?
He's the one of Wardlaw or Sheasel's been missing.
Yeah, Wardlaw's been missing.
I don't think Wardlaw's back this week.
That'd be handy, because, I mean, you're talking Davies, Uniacke, Sheasel.
Simkin
can rack him up. Is it Powell?
Yep.
He's a high pick, starting to develop a little bit. If you throw Wardlaw into the mix, now they're missing Cherry.
Yes, Callum Coleman-Jones had a big breaking case of emergency last week.
Cherry's a big out for the North. But look, Geelong should, well, if they don't win, something's gone horribly wrong. But
the Cats have lost their last three at Docklands.
Yeah, against some average opposition.
But they're all, no, Alderson Kilda.
But they don't play there very often.
No, but before that.
Who have they beaten there?
The Bulldogs the last two times.
Yeah, but that was 1,000 years ago.
2023, 2022, both in the middle of the year.
Yeah, Geelong just need to, they're reaching the point of the season when you can't afford a lapse. Mm. You just cannot afford a lapse. And they've had some lapses this year. They won against Carlton. They won against St Kilda. Mm. I mean, I'm not saying the lapse, they didn't lapse against Brisbane. Brisbane are a good team.
Or the Giants.
GWS are a good team. I penciled the Cats in to lose.
So their six losses are 2 to GWS, 2 to Brisbane, 1 to Carlton, 1 to St Kilda.
So they just got to find a way to win this week because they're, and then hopefully Sydney get put out. Mm. Sydney lose to GWS.
That's not a given.
I think GWS will win. Okay. They're starting to roll. What do they want, six in a row?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they've been very good. So the Cats have to find a way. I don't think they're going to bring anyone in, Kingy, other than the Stuart Bewes possible movement.
Unless there's something else we don't know about. But the Cats injury list, have you seen that?
Guthrie's due back shortly. He's not getting back in.
Yeah, so Guthrie is a test for this week. But I suspect with the VFL not playing next week, they'll give him another two.
Yeah.
And then he would have two VFL games to prove something, if anything. Mitch Duncan will be after the break.
I don't think he's getting back in.
Yep. What is his homework?
Homework, Kingy. Mm-hmm. So I know people will be astonished.
Is this while you're in Vietnam?
It was, Kingy. As I was having
singer?
No, I was having the Tigers. The Bien. The Vietnamese beer. It's quite good.
Is it?
So anyway, I had a few of those and I thought I'll bring something to the table. Because I had plenty of time as I also... Yeah. Anyway, some of the sites, Kingy, some of the sites, poolside.
Yeah.
At these ranches.
Right. Go on. Move on.
It was extraordinary.
Anyway, homework, Ben.
There's a lot of stuff with not a lot of fabric attached.
I know.
And the Europeans, they're leading the way. We're getting left behind. We're getting left behind here in Australia.
Yeah, right.
What I've brought to the table today, Kingy, is extraordinary.
Right.
So I've got five reasons, right? I want your opinion, and we'll be able to get the feedback of our loyal Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast listeners. Mm-hmm. We'll get the feedback of them just for next week.
Yep.
I've given us five reasons why the Cats can win the flag.
Yes.
And five reasons why the Cats can't win the flag.
Right. Go on.
What would you like me to start with?
Let's go with why they can't.
So why they can't? So these are just my thoughts. These are poolside after four Tigers.
Right.
Right?
Go on.
It's one of the few places where you can be parking a Tiger and then having one 10 minutes later. Anyway, so five reasons why the Cats can't win the flag. And these are in no particular order of importance. This is just a list. I love doing a list. The midfield is not deep enough. The midfield just doesn't bat deep enough against the elite teams.
Correct.
Now, we saw that against Brisbane. Now, Brisbane played well. The Cats were off. But is that because their midfield got swamped? Possibly. We saw it a bit against GWS. I thought our best player that day, I don't think he even featured in the votes, which was astonished me, was Atkins. Mm. Now, if he's your best midfielder, you ain't winning footy. Yeah. Now, that's not a knock on Tom. He's an elite foot soldier, but you need your elite players to be elite. So the midfield just doesn't bat deep enough. And I know we beat the Bulldogs, but I thought we were lucky to beat the Bulldogs, and their midfield got hold of us.
Yep.
You've got Holmes and Smith who are elite, Atkins, who was an elite foot soldier, and then you're trying to pinch hit with Myers, who's a link player.
Well, he spent... He went to a bounce.
Yeah, Dangerfield started in the midfield.
Tom Stewart went to a bounce on Sunday as well.
So they're trying to fashion things that I don't really... They're trying to invent things that aren't really there because they're not deep enough in the midfield. Mm. Now, have they whiffed on Jai Clark? You would have expected in the third year that a pick seven is starting to come through. He hasn't.
No.
There's a couple other players missing as well. Cam Guthrie never came up.
Yeah.
There's another player there who's not playing. So it's hurt them. And I just don't know that they could sustain a fight. They could win a final series. There'll be a bump in the road there they won't be able to overcome.
Yep.
The second one, I reckon the ruck. Now, we've said how good Reece Stanley's been. That's because Reece Stanley's been average. We've got accustomed to being happy with Reece Stanley being average.
Oh, I think he's been better than average.
I think he's been okay, and I'm not knocking him, but he ain't winning the ruck. If he breaks even, we're saying how well he's done. If you couple that with the fact that we don't have a great midfield, I think it's a problem. Against teams like Collingwood, Darcy Cameron. I just think that it's an issue when you don't have an elite midfield and we've got a ruckman. And I'm not knocking Reece Stanley. He's going well. He's doing his best he can. Yeah. He's 1,000 years old, and he's not the greatest player when he was 28. So he's battling, but we're happy when he breaks even. We don't have a ruckman who's going to take the game over.
No.
So the other one is that the core group that we rely on, we don't, well, maybe not rely on, but there's a core group who are all 30-plus. Mm. Now, they've been around the block a lot.
Cameron,
Dangerfield, Stewart, Blitzer, Stanley, Atkins must be close, Martin must be close. They're all in the twilight of their career. Good players, but in the twilight of their career. Are they capable of taking the Cats to a premiership when you've got that many or that number of players who are over that age?
Geelong had a lot of, with three in front of their age, going back 3 years ago.
Yeah, they did. And you could easily argue that why the Cats can win it is because they're experienced.
Yeah.
So you could go both ways, but if you've got 8, 9 blokes who are 30-plus, is that going to win against a team that has 8 or 9 guns who are 26, 27?
So do you want me to have a look at the team Geelong put on the field on the weekend
in
terms of age, which I can do very, very quickly. So those over 30, Dangerfield, Blitzarve, Stanley, Cameron, Stewart and Martin.
And then Atkins,
Atkins will be, by grand final day, will be 30.
Yep. So they've got a bevy of players there who are, and it depends whether your glass half full. They might all star, and that's.
But they've got a good core. Do you know who the youngest player in the youngest player in the team was 20? The next youngest was Shannon Neal, Lawson Humphreys. So, by grand final day, Shannon Neal is 23. Max Holmes will be nearly 23 and Humphreys is now 22 and a half.
Yeah.
So then the only young player in that team is Connor O'Sullivan. He's the only young player that he's going to be part of. So Geelong have got a good group between 22 up to Bowes at 27.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. And they have a group of elite who are a bit older.
Yeah.
Can they go again? Their form so far this year suggests that that's possible. But you are relying on an older core. The other one, Kingy, and the last one, and the reason why the Cats can't win the flag is because they get scored against quite heavily when the game's going against them.
And quickly.
Yeah.
Yep.
We saw St Kilda do it even in the second quarter.
Yep.
We've seen Brisbane do it. We've seen GWS do it.
St Kilda did it first time round.
They play. Carlton did it.
Yep.
They play a brand that is exciting, but they open themselves up to be scored against, and at times they can't stem the bleeding. Now, is that a recipe to win a final series and win a grand final? I mean, there's going to be some point in a game against a good opposition where you have to be able to stem the flow. The game, the tide of the game is against you. Can you hold up against that? The Cats this year have been really iffy with that.
Yep.
They've been okay against Gold Coast. There's a couple other games there where they've been pretty good. And we heard James Kelly say before the game, Kingy, we asked him what's something he'd really like to work on between now and moving into finals. And he said that it was the Cats' work behind the ball. Because that's probably where you get exposed.
Just on the Saints on the weekend, though, only once in that second quarter did they kick consecutive goals. Geelong always seemed to be able to find a reply.
And you'd hope so. St Kilda are a pretty average side. I mean, they're
just going.
Wanganeen Miller and then...
That's it.
Falls away completely after that. So you'd expect that.
Mm.
But they still were able to kick, Well, they kick 80 points.
They did kick 12. They
do that too often this year, the Saints. So they're the five reasons, Kingy, that I think that the Cats can't win the flag. Now, there's five reasons why I think the Cats can win the flag.
Go on.
The stage won't get too big for them.
No.
If they're there at the death, they won't shit the bed.
Correct.
They will play to the end. They've got the experience there. They've been there, done that. They know what's required. They're unlikely to make any horrible mistakes. And Brisbane will be the same. Collingwood will be the same. Sides like Adelaide won't be. They'll be pretty relatively finals inexperienced.
Hawthorne.
GWS have been around the block a bit. So the Cats, the stage won't be too big for them. If they're there to kick the door down, they'll kick it down. The other one is that they've got a really good sprinkling of genuine players who can change the game. So Stengel, Cameron, Dempsey, I'm throwing Manor in there, Holmes, Smith, Humphreys, Dangerfield, Myers, they can all turn games. They've got the ability to not be match winners in their own right, but they've got the ability to turn the game.
Yep.
And a lot of those players are very – Stengel, Cameron, Dempsey, Holmes, Smith, Humphreys, Dangerfield and Myers are all attacking. They help you score, which puts pressure on the opposition.
Yep.
So that's another reason why I think they can win the flag. So the other reason, the third reason, Kingy, is because I reckon is that when Geelong are on, when Geelong are playing two-way footy, their game is as good as anyone.
Yeah, correct.
It's just the consistency of it this year. But when they're on, they score, they have no problem scoring, and they defend well. The problem of this year, as we mentioned, has been defending. The other one is that I reckon, and this is going to surprise you, Kingy, one of the reasons why I think the Cats can win the flag is because of the coaching. Coach. Now, I haven't been the fan of the coach at times, and I've never, ever, you'll back me up in this, I've never criticised his coaching. I've criticised his personality, I've criticised his man management, I've criticised his selection, I've criticised his relationship building, all the periphery stuff. I've never criticised his coaching, but he is a very good football coach.
Yeah.
So they coached well. And the last reason, Kingy, are we up to five?
We are.
The last reason, I reckon, is that whether it's been by design or by coincidence, Geelong have really good running power. They have some blokes who are running as hard as in the last 10 minutes of the game as they are in the first 10 minutes of the game. And I'm talking about Myers, Blitzarves, Dempsey, Cameron, O'Sullivan, Smith, Close. They're all elite runners. And it's no surprise that in, what have they played, 18 games this year? They're 14 and 4 in last quarters.
Yep.
The two they lost to Brisbane, narrowly, I think of a goal each. From memory, I was under my fifth Tiger by the time I was doing this research, Kingy. But
we're well beaten by Brisbane.
But the last quarters were relatively close. So
And gave up a lead at three-quarter time at the Gabba. In the wet.
Not by much, though.
No.
So four of the losses, two against Brisbane.
Yeah.
One was by a point to GWS. I think both teams kicked five goals in the last quarter. Game was probably over by three-quarter time, but they both kicked five goals. And the other one was on Sunday. They lost by a goal to the Saints.
Yep.
So they have an ability to run out games, which is really, really important. And, I mean, as I said, I don't know whether they've done this by design, but it's worked out really well. And they have a capacity, and not every side probably has that.
No.
So they're my reasons, Kingy.
They're elite.
What did you think of that?
That's impressive from you.
Yeah, that's a quality, wasn't
that's
it?
That's probably the most homework.
Do you think K-Rock will send me back to Vietnam?
That's the most homework you've done since 1989.
That's right. Well, even then I didn't do too much homework, Kingy.
Can we jump on some questions?
We did get suspended in year 12.
Four?
Well, we decided, Kingy, in my St. Joseph's uniform, that we were on the second level of the college, and we decided that it would be a good idea, don't ask me why, to buy a big bag of oranges and then stand in the second story window and hurl them at full pelt at the year sevens playing basketball.
Right.
So it wasn't probably the smartest decision we've made.
No.
Especially if year seven got home and said, what's happened to your top? And they go, well, some of the year 12s were throwing
oranges.
That's
actually a form of bullying. So
not really. We went and apologised. We went and shot the lights out with them afterwards, Kingy. Yes.
All right.
The world's changed, though, isn't it, Kingy? No one plays stripjack naked, do they, anymore?
No, Ben.
I played that once. Do you know what the best part about that game is?
Did Jack know?
No, I played it with a lovely girl. Her name was Natalie. And do you know the best part about that game?
What?
Is that there's no losers. Because once you get to the end of the game.
Yes, Ben, I'm well aware.
Do you know what?
Yeah, right.
You don't have another round.
Right, can I get some questions out?
Yeah.
Adrian Mancini, Kingy and Cass. Cats seem to be doing enough at the moment. Noticeable tinkering versus Saints. Myers at centre bounces. Lawson Humphreys on a wing. I think they should do this with Lawson. Jed Buse would be a good option to cover. Mullen was good, though.
Mullen played one of his better games, I agree.
On Jack Higgins.
Yep, he did a really good job. Now, the problem there, Kingy, is that is there a matchup for him like that every week in defence, or do we put him into the midfield to stop? I'm not sure. His kicking was better. I want to see him let it go a bit with his kicking.
Yeah.
He tries to make everything so precise,
yeah.
And it doesn't always work. Let it go a little bit, because I think the plan would be at some stage for him to be an attacking defender, but he doesn't get the ball enough and he's too careful with his kicking.
Yeah.
So it was a really good game from him, though. This week, North Melbourne, do you put him to a Curtis?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
I just don't know whether Curtis is a bit big for him,
but
it's an option.
Well, he's a good size.
What is he?
I reckon he is. He's 182 and 85 kegs.
Well, Curtis is probably 186, 187, I would have thought. And he's as strong as an ox, Curtis. He can bench press like 150 or something. He's like a big unit.
Let me have a look and see what Wayne Curtis. I don't know who Wayne Curtis is. Paul Curtis, though. Number 25.
Yeah, he's a big unit.
Kangaroos.
Strong. He's a big hitter. He's like the Dalai Lama. He's a big hitter. No.
Paul Curtis, 185 and 75 kilos.
Maybe way more than 75.
Well, yeah, these are the last. Well, these are the last ones on AFL tables until we stop doing weights.
That's 13.
28 goals, 13 for Paul Curtis this year, which is tracking to be his best season. Randomness. I feel like Scotty shuffled the magnets last week with Blitz and Martin going forward, Lawson on the wing. I hope that's the explanation for our not-so-great recent form. Not a bad thing, but reality is Cats are at risk of missing the top four if they can't win every match.
No. Geelong are finishing top four. The only tough game they've got
is Sydney and Sydney.
Yeah, and Sydney will possibly be completely out of it by
then. I think they can still go 4-1 and finish top four because of the amount of teams that are playing each other inside the eight.
Collingwood plays Hawthorn. Gold Coast have got to play
Brisbane.
And they play someone else as well. It's handy. Collingwood are the team that could end up finishing fourth.
Yeah.
They've got a hard road.
Yeah.
Really hard road. I think they've got Brisbane. I think they've got Hawthorn. I think they've got Adelaide away.
Yeah, Melbourne in the last round.
Yeah, they'll win that. But Geelong, I'd be kingy flabbergasted if Geelong missed the top four.
I reckon there's a chance that Geelong are going to Adelaide again for the first week of the finals.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be odd. Well,
play the Crows.
That'd be good and bad. I mean, Crows are in form, but do they? You know, do they poop the bed first final with a lot of inexperience?
Teddy G, I like the idea of playing Blitz in the forward line, but I don't want to see him and Shannon Neal spoiling each other in a marking contest. Yeah. Well, that was more to go to Wilkie to keep Wilkie.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
That is not my move.
Won't be happening. Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, once again, great call. One of those games where you just need to get the 4 points. Is it me or are we not marking down back as good? Well, there were some marks dropped last week.
Yeah, there's a few fumblers.
But I reckon the Sun had a little bit to do with some of those.
I think you're being
conky. With some, not all. Sam De Koning dropped an absolute howler.
I think the expression is better for the run.
Yep.
He looked miles off it.
Credit to Tom Atkins. He's just a bull. And do you think the number 5 can kick 100 this year?
No. Well, I said during the call, I reckon, can he get to 80?
Yep.
Yeah,
he get to 80.
He won't get to 100.
No.
No way.
No. The days of 100 being kicked.
I'd have to. Yeah, no, he won't kick 100, but he'll kick possibly 80, 85 if he really gets hold of someone.
Trevor Young, out of 10, with 10 being good enough to make the grand final, how well do you think the boys are travelling? I feel they're still tinkering and it hasn't fully yet come together for a sustained period. Crossing my fingers that everything clicks and they go into September in top gear. I would give them about a 7.5 out of 10 at the moment.
Yeah, I would have thought the same. Do you think, as it stands right now, Geelong can win the flag?
Yes, they can win it.
Do you think they will?
No.
No.
No, I don't think anything more than a prelim final.
Well, they'd want to finish prelim if they finish top four. That'd be a disastrous season if they get to a prelim.
I can see them losing, qualifying, winning semi and out in a prelim because they might have to go to Brisbane.
Possibly, yeah. I'm not against that, Kingy.
Yep. Return of our Lord Loch Ness, which is Mick Howley. In the second quarter, according to the Fox Footy broadcast, St Kilda's pressure rating hit 268. Kingy, is that roughly your heart rate when Ben starts telling a story? Yes. Yes, it is.
Possibly.
Premieres, welcome back, boys. Benny's early call on Jack Martin is shaping up to be a real stinker, playing a role nicely at both ends of the ground and will get better with more games. I know Mullen has improved, but if he isn't tagging, is there a spot for him in the team?
Yeah, I'm still not convinced about Jack Martin. I'm not convinced, so no. That's fine. He had 11 possessions, didn't he? on the weekend. I think he had about eight. He had seven or something in the first half and hardly touched it after half time. But, yeah, look, I just don't know. They're trying to force him into spots. I don't know.
Him forward is probably the most
How many
natural.
Possessions did he have?
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, I reckon he had seven or eight of those in the first half. So he touched the ball three times in the second half. I don't know if it's a stinker, but you know what? The Cats seemingly love Jack Martin for whatever reason. I'm tipping the coach does, and that's fine, and they get to play him. I just don't know where he fits in. That's my point.
Outside midfield, a great call. Is the 22 that played on Saturday our best 22? We'd like to see Ollie Henry make it back into the team, but he looked ridiculously out of touch in the VFL game. However, he started to show some signs. I worry a small forward will get a hold of us without Buse in a final.
Yeah, that'd be a concern. I mean, they'll be saying Mullen did a job on Higgins, which is fair enough. Higgins has been a really good form as a small forward this year, so that's a feather in his cap.
I think you need Buse to go to the likes of Cameron and Elliott.
Well, I think so too, because...
And if Rochelle gets back.
Yeah, and the only thing I like about Jed Buse right now is that he probably has a capacity to shut someone down, but he can also then create.
Yep.
Yeah, Mullen is not creating a whole lot at the moment. He did a little bit on Sunday, against the Saints, a little bit, but he's not creating you a whole lot. Then they'll say that's fine because they have Stewart, they have Humphreys, they have Guthrie as rebounding type defenders. So, I don't know, it's a bit of a quandary, Kingy. Love that word, quandary.
Talking about Busey, see, he opened a cafe during the week.
Did he?
On Mirrible Street called Betty.
Betty?
Betty. Right. Or Betty's, Betty.
Right.
So, yeah.
Have you been in there, King?
No,
I haven't. Do you get any free shit?
I don't drink coffee, so.
Well, go and have a pickle juice. You got those?
Leachy 89. O'Sheen Mullen doing some really good things, looking far more safe with ball in hand. Is our pure midfield depth...
He played one good game. Let's not get too excited.
Yep. Is our pure midfield depth going to stop us from winning the flag? Well, yep. You touched on that earlier.
Yep. I think that's one of the big barriers to it, yeah.
Off the big footy, thank you to all those who get involved there. How's your little thing, Sunday Buzz, going, Benny?
It's fourth there, King, in the pink.
We're just watching the races from the Bull.
Yeah.
Redivo, I think that's a...
That's a Jamie Edwards horse. Horse.
That's going backwards right now.
It's getting booked for loitering as we speak, King. So's ours, in fairness. Yeah, he's under the shillelagh.
Yeah, it's just...
He will keep on coming, though. Yeah. He's as tough as a woodpecker's lips.
Right. He's going to pull out and try and find some good ground.
This
in the
is
middle
making
of
really good radio. Radio. No, he's not going to finish in the... He's not going to figure in the finish. This big grey thing, noonday gun, I'm happy to... It's a hurdler.
$4 bipty.
Yep. So...
Your thing's sticking on.
No, right? It's not. It's going to run sixth.
Okay.
We don't like sticking on. We want to be winning.
Is that the motto of wild racing?
Look at that big gun. Look at that big grey thing. Anyway, all right, back to the question.
Yes, gents, a bit of a rant on how the modern game is umpired. It bloody shits me on how the game is umpired. There's no reason why we need four. I honestly would be happy if there was only two, and I know that won't happen, so let's make it three. We need to get rid of two or three umpire decisions. Why do we need to tell a guy to stand? If a bloke can't jump up and down to try and put his opposition player off, then we better tell the crowd not to yell at an opposition team. This running in the player's space and they get paid 50 metres against them when the opposing player is running after the player he's playing against, seriously, come on. That's to do with a gap. You've got to be within a certain area, you know, meterage when you move into that area.
Yeah.
If we get rid of two or three rules, it will make it better for the umpires as there wouldn't be as many decisions the umpires have to keep remembering so they don't make as many mistakes. Keep the game simple. Soccer, the most popular sport in the world, and they haven't brought in any new rules for over 100 years.
Yeah, and I see this contentious stuff in that all the time.
Yeah, and they've still got a VAR and all that sort of stuff, the offside rule.
And you see guys go down, and they're like they've been shot from the grassy knoll, and they haven't been touched.
I'd get rid of the stand rule. I just reckon that, you know, it was supposed to improve scoring.
It was supposed to quicken the game.
And it hasn't happened. Game might be quicker, but we're not scoring any better.
No. I don't know what the answer is there, King.
Because the umpires aren't calling play on quick enough.
Waiting for the ruckman to get there, throw it up.
Yeah. One of our discussion points on Saturday night, I think we'll put it to our listeners. If you had access to Greg Swan as a footy fan, what do you want to see changed? Because he's going to come. He's got the remit to shake things up a little bit. Games are going to 35-minute quarters.
Yeah, well, that was one that was already. He's already flagged that. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the fact that if you take a few decisions off the table, that suddenly the umpiring is going to get any better.
Nah, it doesn't.
It won't. It's not. Do we need four umpires?
Hmm.
Why do we need four umpires?
Yeah. Ultimate Warrior, don't take breaks ever again. It's a long week without the show. Just wondering when Benny was apologising for his attitude to the manor drafting. Bloke's a jet and one of the first picked.
No. Is it always poo-hooted?
Yeah, well, you poo-hooted when he wasn't playing last year.
Yeah.
You said, what's the point of drafting a bloke in his mid-20s if you're not going to play him?
And he's playing really well, so wouldn't that be justified?
Yeah.
I never poo-hooed the player. I poo-hooed the decision because I don't know that there's a spot for him. But he's become, you know, he can go into the midfield and give you something different, which we need. We don't have the midfield, as I mentioned. So I'm confused. So I was pooing the decision because they weren't playing him. He's come in and played really well. So why weren't they playing him?
Yeah. You question why would you draft a guy
at that age and they're not playing?
Yeah. From last week's team, who do you see coming in or missing out at full strength or going well?
Missing out. Well, at this stage, Ollie Henry's missing out. I fear Jed Buse, although he might be playing this week.
I reckon Buse has got to be in. They don't like Buse.
They like Jack Martin. They like Jack Martin and they like Mullen. They're the two they like above Jed Buse. And they like. So it's on the back burner is Henry and Buse, and on the front burner is Martin and Mullen.
Dudas Maximus, what's your theory on what's ailing Sam De Koning since his peak in 2022? And how do you rate Connor O'Sullivan's year in the pantheon of Selwood and Dempsey's breakout years? Well, Selwood is your first year is miles ahead of anybody. Dempsey's year last year was outstanding. O'Sullivan's not winning the Rising Star this year.
He's top five, though.
But he will poll well.
Top four?
Yep.
Oh, sent it.
You right, Benny? No, I don't need to know what you just did there. But anyway, move on. Sam De Koning.
Look, he didn't play well on the weekend, but he had a month out. And he's not the sort of player, I think, that just comes in off a month out and plays well. He's a bit of a confidence player, needs to find his feet. I thought he was playing. I know fans are off him, but I thought he was okay before he got injured.
Yes, correct.
He just needs to start to, get a little bit of confidence, and getting a little bit of the ball might help that. But he was down on the weekend, but it wasn't completely unexpected that he was. He looked rusty.
Howler 41, Cats did what they had to versus the Saints. Great to see newly announced 40 Winks ambassador Loch Ness Conway return in the VFL. My question is a more general theme. In the past few years, Geelong have recruited several older players, two in particular in Jack Stephen and Jack Martin, who appeared on the scrap heap. Martin's been busy in games versus Richmond and Saints, but struggled in losses against the Lions and the Giants. Stephen never found his prior St Kilda form, in my opinion. Do you think the Cats are better to get games into Closey, Clark, Stephens and Nevitt? Bit to unpack there.
Than Martin.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for that. I mean, do we have any idea whether do you think Jai Clark is part of the problem or part of the solution?
He's not part of the problem.
Do you think that he is worthy of going on with?
Well, he's got another year, so he's not.
Do you think they'll keep him? Well, do you think they'll try and trade him?
Oh, don't know. Suspect. Well, he might ask the question. He might say himself.
Do you think Nevitt will go elsewhere?
It wouldn't shock me. Ted Closey's the other one too.
My only thing with Martin is that they've drafted him and then they've recruited him and I don't know where he really fits. I don't like him in defence. He's too slow. So, can he mark your ball up forward? Yes, possibly. In a big final, is he going to get exposed? Someone running off him or he can't play in defence because they're too slow? I don't know. I just don't know what they got him for because they're playing him all over the place.
Footy lad, discussed back and forth on Geelong's big footy board, Cats Reddit page, Twitter has been highly contentious. Lots of different opinions being thrown out there. This is from Footy Lad. What are your opinions on Geelong going after guys LinkedIn reports like Marshall and Warple for 2026? Just in my opinion, for what it's worth, it seems like Andrew Mackey and co will do what they can to go after blokes every single year to show they're content to not sit on their hands. Conversely, a large contingent of social media pages feel we should hold on to as much draft capital and cap space as possible for the best chance at getting Harley Reid and or Zach Butters. If you were a list manager and had to pick a strategy going forward, would you go after players like Marshall and Warple to help boost the squad right now with guys who aren't necessarily A-graders but give us something extra, maybe even a money ball option of delisted free agency like Geelong did with Stengel or Martin? Or would you back in the development of Clark, Stephens, Conway, Nevitt to take the next step up and hold off moving any draft capital until the end of 26 to go for the big fish in Reed and Butters, who would most likely be out of contract?
God, that's a...
Written, spoken and authorised.
By?
Footy Lad Zero.
Warple hasn't signed at Hawthorn yet, has he?
No, he hasn't.
That's interesting.
I'd be happy with him in the Geelong midfield.
Yeah, I think he's a really good foot soldier.
Would you rather Marshall and Stanley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about...
So
you're talking about, like, Claudius Schiffer. as opposed to Bub from the Carlton Cheer Squad there. Like, come on. They're not even close.
Right.
Marshall's a very good ruckman.
I think Geelong are just wanting to contend every year.
Yeah, they are. So, and I think that if you've got to get those mid-tier type players. I mean, what's Warple, 24, I'm guessing?
Warp's played in the 2017 Falcons flag as, I think, a bottom ager.
25.
So it's stack on eight years. Let's say he's 25 or 26.
Yeah, so getting him in the wheelhouse of his best football, is he an absolute star? No. Is he a very good player? Yes. Is he a consistent player? Yes. I think that would be a really good signing for the Cats. That's the sort of player that they need. He's got a bit of zip, but he can go and win the ball. Mm. Alongside the likes of Holmes, Smith, Atkins, I think that would be a great signing for the Cats, and it's not going to break the bank. I just thought, I remember reading about a month ago that he was signed, sort of close to signing, or it was looking positive signing with Hawthorn. It seems odd that it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And Marshall, what's Marshall? He's going to attract a dollar, Marshall. Yeah. He's not coming down here to play for peanuts. Reece Stanley would be on the base wage.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're not getting Marshall for that. So how does it fit into the salary cap? But I agree, could a world work where, is Warple an unrestricted free agent?
Eight years.
If they could get Warple for nothing and then still keep their draft capital and draft a midfielder with the first pick, that would be absolutely. I'm all for that. I mean, this Harley Reid and Zach Butters and they just break the mold of what Geelong have done and done well for so long. They're going to want a fortune now. Are they good players, gun players? Yes. Well, not right now. I don't think Harley Reid is. He's just going, but Butters is. But do you want to? How much is it going to upset the apple cart if you've got to pay a bloke an absolute fortune? There's a trickle down effect to that. So I'd keep your draft picks and try and get yourself a mid tier midfielder like a Warple, and there's got to be others out there who are ready to who could come in and be consistent players for you, and you're not developing. That would be an ideal scenario.
The Cattery 2007, great to have you back. The Cats haven't been the same without you and SDK, obviously. I'm baffled by how underrated SDK has become among Cat fans. You'd think he'd stolen someone's parking spot at Cadinia Park the way they're going on. Sure, he's not taking as many intercepts marks as 2022, but we also lost to the Giants and Lions without him. And while that's not entirely on his absence, it's like removing the structural beam from a Jenga tower and blaming gravity. Feels like with Collar out, he's playing more of a lockdown role, fewer highlight grabs, more quietly saving our skins. Am I nuts, or is he actually still playing at 2022 level?
He's not playing at 22 level, but I thought he was playing pretty well. And we've mentioned it quite a few times on the Kerr's Eye Cat Attack podcast that I don't think he's been helped at times by the way players have played up the ground. That Geelong have been, the ball's come down at a million miles an hour, not much he could do. The game against Hogan, I mean, they were just moving it like Billy O, the game down here.
Yeah, and then it was Cadman up there when he wasn't playing.
Yeah, so I don't know you can just blame all of them. Is he at 22 level? No. Do I reckon he'll get back there? Yes. Is he still very young? Yes. He needs to just work himself into form as we head into finals, but he's got, five games to do it.
Correct.
Yep.
Now on to Mullen versus Buse, the matchup nobody asked for, but here we are. I reckon the coaches love Mullen's speed and versatility. Tag a mid, no worries. But if I need someone to shut down a slippery small forward in a final, give me Buse. That said, Mullen is improving every week. If this keeps up by finals time, he'll be tagging Dangerfield at training and winning. So who do you take into a final? Head says Mullen, heart says Buse. Footy gods probably say play both and bench a ruck.
Right now they're playing Mullen, obviously. Buse is on the back burner. He's playing well in the twos. He can't get a game. So possibly gets a game this week. I don't know. I mean, they like Mullen's speed. But when do you see it?
Rare.
No, you don't.
No.
That's what I say. He's got to develop parts of his – got to develop an offensive side to his game as well as shut down. That's what Busey's already done. Mm. He's done it for, quite a bit of his career. Busey had his struggles his first 80 games. I remember Cat fans wanted him gone. Mm. Now – is Mullen going to continue to develop? Yes. Does Busey help you perhaps win a premiership or have more of an impact than Mullen in the short term? You could argue yes. But the way it's trending right now, I think that it's definitely mulling over Buse. That's what the Cats think.
Daz Broncos, welcome back, Cotter. Benny was rough as on Sunday. Figured it was a Vietnam hangover, not the Gunjaka one, but he made it through like the trooper he is. So where Benny was, Benny is, through marriage, related to AFLW cat Claudia Gunjaka, who's engaged to Tom, or now engaged to Tom Henry.
Yes.
You're in that engagement party.
I was, Kingy. I was front and square, and I was refreshed. I remained hydrated throughout.
It's important. Yeah. Lots of things coming back to life. Benny's voice, Loch Ness, and the Cats' hopes for top two.
Yep.
Still might jag it. Made me think, where is the best spot to come week one of the finals? Qualifying final at the G versus the Pies, or do we aim higher, maybe finish third and go to Adelaide Oval versus the Crows, or do we want to go to Brisbane and roll the dice up there? What's your preference?
No, I think Collingwood at the G gives you a real opportunity to win. Collingwood are a good team, but they're beatable. I'm not saying we couldn't beat Adelaide, but going away from home, there's an added layer there of obstacle. Adelaide are in really good form. Are they holding it through to finals? Time will tell. But I think you go in, you play well at the MCG against Collingwood, you're a very good chance of winning. And that's not to say you couldn't go and play well and beat Adelaide, but staying home I think would be the preference.
How good was Tom Atkins' post-game interview? Such a great bloke and player. Don't give a stuff about Baz and Tinder. Just win another flag this year. So that's a reflection on a question that a Melbourne journo asked Tom Atkins, trying at a little bit of humour. He picked the wrong target. Tom Atkins has got no interest in talking about what his teammates do outside the four walls of GMHBA Stadium.
He's pretty bland.
And the journo went twice.
He went with it again.
And Tommy basically, without saying it, he wanted to basically, mate, why?
Shut up.
Yeah, move on. Yeah, anyway.
Should have asked him about his dress sense.
It's Op Shop.
He loves his Op Shop.
Son of God 29. Welcome back, lads. Glad to get the 4 points versus St Kilda and move on. Thought Holmes, Myers and Dempsey were outstanding. Jezza just keeps doing Jezza things. Hardly sighted and kicked 5-1. Oh, his first half was pretty good.
It was.
He had four by half time.
He got one cheapie.
Yeah. But he also gave one off too.
He did, yeah. We've seen two things happen, Kingy.
He's handballed.
In the last, the wonders will never cease to amaze. Last two games at GMHBA. No, it was against Brisbane. But anyway, recently he handballed the ball inside forward 50 to a teammate.
Yep.
And then he passed it off inside forward 50. So just that'll be rare sightings, Kingy, of those sorts of things happening with Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, you didn't sight Loch Ness on Saturday in the VFL, but I did, and there were some good signs there, but it's three quarters of VFL football. So
yeah, he needs to build the remainder this year in the VFL.
He needs to get the three games that are left in the VFL. And then big
press. And then move on.
Yeah. Also, like the looks of Edwards, Mollier and Polkinghorne in the VFL, future tall stocks are looking good. North under the lid on Saturday night needs to be taken seriously. Could be another banana skin we can't afford.
Yes, I agree. We just, Geelong play well, they win. You've got to have the right mindset. Start well. You can usually tell early on with the Cats in games like that. There's games you go in expecting them to win and you're thinking at quarter time we're 100-1 here because it's 5-1 and Geelong have fallen asleep. Start well, put North on the back foot and go from there.
All right, Benny, time for Hydro's Heroes. Yeah, we're going well down the list.
We are right down the list, Kingy, like way down, like down in the bowels
and we're getting near the end. We can't be too far.
Hydro will be able to keep us up to date with all that, Kingy, but we've got numbers 37,
yep,
38, 39 and number 40.
Right.
So there we've got four numbers to dissect, Kingy, and there's a couple there that I think are going to be pretty easy, just off the top of my head.
Yeah, one's difficult. So 37.
Tom Harley.
Didn't
he wear 37?
He did, but most of his games are in the number two.
Yep.
So, right. The two
Michael
options,
Cole
or
Sean Simpson.
I think it's Sean Simpson.
What?
I think it's Sean Simpson.
I can't. Sean Simpson cost me a fortune one day with his poor kick out of the middle.
114 games.
Jeez, he was a bit of a bit of a bulldozer, wasn't he? Yeah. He'd win the ball, had a bit of zip, but his kicking was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That day that he tried to kick it to Brett Spinks, it cost me the most goals for the round. Mm-hmm. It was horrific.
So who's got odds and who's got evens?
I've got odds.
You've got odds.
So I've got Sean Simpson.
Right.
Sub.
38 is easy.
38 is Jack Henry.
He's the only one that qualifies.
Yeah, he's shaping as a genuine How many games has Jack Henry played?
156.
He's shaping as a 275 game.
Yeah, he's still only 26.
Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very good, underrated by those, probably outside of Geelong, but he's a very, very good player.
39 has a couple of interesting names. I think we're going to go with the bloke that played 292 games.
Yeah.
But, gee, Kevin Higgins was a good footballer.
Yeah, he was. He was my primary school principal. Kevin Higgins, yeah, the biggest hands, a little tucker, obviously, but he had the biggest hands I remember I've ever seen of a human being.
Zach Guthrie.
Kevin Higgins.
And Zach Guthrie's
too. Zach Guthrie's going to be a very good player. How many games is he up to?
120.
120. He'll get to 250?
That's six more years. That takes him to 33.
Is he 27, Zach Guthrie? Yeah, right. Well, the way he plays, he still
gets asked for ID.
He's quite nimble. Mm. He's pretty durable. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't put that past him. Yeah, look, it has to go to Darren Milburn. He was an absolute star, Darren Milburn. The stickiest hands of all time.
And the 40?
Well, the 40, we've got Paul Brown.
Yep.
Lukey Dalhouse.
Yep.
Well, this one's going to get it. Ian Nankervis.
Yep.
And David Wojcicki. So Ian Nankervis, King Harry, played how many games?
325.
325 games. Yep. Number 40 for the Cats. Yep. David Wojcicki was a good player. Why he was left out of that 08 grade, we'll never know.
And they played Stokes.
That was absolutely bizarre. Anyway.
Three-time premiership player, Bomber.
Yep.
There's an argument there that the evens are mine.
Yeah. Where are you going to play Wojcicki? Are you going to play
Wojcicki?
Ian Nankervis.
Well, he's a back pocket, yeah. Ian Nankervis. Bomber isn't nearly an almost ideal sub.
Yeah.
With his speed and line breaking and you could take a mark. Remember the mark he took in the 2012 VFL Granny?
He could take a mark, yeah. He was electrifying to watch. He was like pace on steroids when he got it.
But
Ian Nankervis was...
Yeah, I think I've got to go.
How many years did Ian Nankervis play for?
I think he played 69 to 83.
Yeah, it's a good effort, isn't it?
67 to 83, yeah. So really, half his games were before the cutoff.
Yep.
Although we did pick Wayne Kloster and most of his games were before the cutoff. Look, I've got to go with Ian Nankervis. 325... for so long was the Mount Everest of
now
Geelong.
They're caving in on it all from all parts.
For 30 years, nobody even came. We just thought that forever and a day, Ian Nankervis at 325 was going to be...
Was going to do it.
Yeah, but now he's been shuffled down to fourth.
He was, yeah. And did he hand the Premiership Cup over in 22?
No, he would have in 20.
Right.
Yeah, because he's based on the Sunny Coast.
On the Sunny Coast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was the ambassador in 20.
Yeah. Don't hear much from him, do you?
No, he moved up there to teach.
Yeah.
And, life up there is pretty good.
We should get him on K-Rock one
time. Yeah, we spoke to him. He's very well spoken, very articulate.
Yeah.
And he was very good. We'll see next year. We have a segment next year. So we've been doing One Game Wonders, which have been really good. Mm. Johnny Dernan was good on the weekend.
He was, yeah.
We're going to do next year on this day. So we're going to try and find... So the dates of the games, we're going to try and marry up with something that happened on that date X amount of years ago.
Yep.
So I suspect at some stage, Ian Nankervis will probably bob up as somebody we'll talk to. And
that'd be good.
And he's always happy to talk to 3GL.
That'd be great.
Sometimes when you ring some of these old boys...
That's a 3GL.
You've got to say you're 3GL. Yeah.
Well, why not? Now, that'd be great to talk to somebody who's revered.
Yep.
Such a revered... Who really... You know, unless you... were watching footy in that era, and a lot of us, our listeners probably weren't. Mm. But you tend to forget pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It's all Jeremy Cameron and Patrick Dangerfield, and you forget that there was players who've sort of set the bar long before these guys came along. And he wasn't a Jeremy Cameron type player, but he was obviously a great stalwart for the Cats.
Absolutely. So 37, Sean Simpson, 38, Jack Henry, 39, Darren Milburn, and 40, Ian Nankervis.
Yes, good work.
Going into, and because made himself, you've turned them into rhyming slang, him and his brother.
The Leyland brothers?
No.
Yeah, a bit Bruce Nankervis. And it depends how you can, it could be Ian Nankervis.
A little bit problem. And if it's really bad, I'm Bruce and Ian.
Yes. All right, we'll look forward to Saturday night. Kingy Cats need a fast start. They need to get the 4 points. Just find a way is the motto for Saturday night.
See you 6 o'clock.
Yes.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.